You probably thought I was going to go get that violin and start playing. A super church is staying here with us today, but pre-K and nursery is got a classroom, and you guys are welcome to take off for that. I have, I believe, a message for us this morning. Significant statements about the resurrection. There are five of them in Scripture, and they're not new, but they might be new to some of us, and so I think that we can value our time together. Excuse me. If there's a Bible in the pew in front of you, and you are certainly welcome to grab a hold of one and follow along if you like. I am in Mark chapter 12 is where we're going to start. And the first statement about the resurrection that I wanted to mention this morning is a negative statement. They're either really, really good or they're really, really poor. This one is a poor statement. This is from the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a religious group, and they said that there is no resurrection. And I wanted to read a portion of that from Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 18 says, "And the Sadducees came to him being Jesus, who say there is no resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, 'Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but leaves no child, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother.' There were seven brothers." They were creating a scenario. There were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and when he died, he left no offspring. And the second, verse 21, took her and died, leaving no offspring. And the third likewise. And the seven left no offspring. Last of all, the woman also died. And their question was, in the resurrection, which they didn't believe in, when they rise again, whose wife will she be? For the seven had her as a wife. And Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the scripture nor the power of God." And so he hit it right on the head. "For when they rise from the dead," and this is hard to say, but it's truth, "for when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. As for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob,' those had already long died. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong," or another translation says, "you are greatly mistaken," because they knew neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Their motive was to trick Jesus. They wanted to catch him in some kind of a theological dilemma and be able to undermine his authority with which he spoke. But Jesus showed the Sadducees that their lack of knowing or understanding scripture and of not understanding God's power caused them to be quite wrong. What's immediately following this conversation, we're not going to get into it, but I at least want to read it because it's significant. Is the question about the commandment, which one is the most important of all. And let me just read a couple of the verses so you'll get the idea. "One of the scribes came up and heard them," the Sadducees, disputing with Jesus, disputing with one another, and seeing that he had answered them well, Jesus, he asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.'" So you can see how significant this comes in at this time when they were saying that there is no resurrection. "The second commandment is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The Sadducees weren't the only ones, however, in the New Testament that didn't believe in the resurrection. We find that true also in the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth was a primarily a Gentile church. It had been infected as well with this error of the Sadducees not believing in the resurrection. At least some of the people within the church believed that. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead?" And so the apostle was telling the people in the church in Corinth, there are some among you who say there is no such thing as a resurrection, just like the Sadducees were doing as well. But if there is no resurrection, it says in verse 13, of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, not only is he lying, we're lying as well. God the Father is lying, and we are most of all people to be pitied. If there is no resurrection, he's a liar. God's a liar. They're unworthy of our trust. And Paul wrote, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men are the most to be pitied or the most pathetic. One of the statements of Scripture, though negative, that is true, and some believed it, was that some said there is no such thing as a resurrection. But I want you to know that we heard from Scripture various places from the Gospels as well as the Epistles various times when Christ has been declared as resurrected from the dead. The second statement is this one, and this is Jesus. It's completely opposite of what the Sadducees would say. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And if you have a Bible, or take one from the pew in front of you, and by the way, if you don't have one that you're reading at home, feel free to take that home. We would love to have you have that. And open it to John chapter 11. This is a pretty strong statement that Jesus has to say, especially in light of what the Sadducees and the Corinthians believed and declared as truth as well. John chapter 11 says this in verse 1. Excuse me. Wow. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." Excuse me. "Lazarus of Bethany, which was the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you loved is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'The illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" Verse 11 says, "After these things," some things happened in between, "and he said this to the disciples," them, "'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant that he was resting in sleep. And then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Listen to what Thomas has to say. "So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciple, 'Let's go also so that we may die with him.'" That was his idea. He's in a tough situation. He died. Let's just go and we'll be with him and we'll die also. Verse 17, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus," listen to her statement, "'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" And so her concern was, my brother died, I miss him, I'm saddened by it. If you could have been here, he wouldn't have died. Verse 22, "But now, even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Jesus is speaking in the immediate, though she doesn't perceive that, and we'll see that from the conversation. "Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say to her, one of these days, I'm going to die, and they'll put me in a tomb, and they'll put a rock on the front of it, but I'm going to break out of there, and I'll be the resurrection then. He did do that. But what he said was, right now, right here, in this situation, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the last day, the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then Jesus asked her a question, and the question is very simple, and I have it for me, and I have it as a question for you as well. And the question is this: do you believe this? Now, she gave a right Sunday school answer and declared who Jesus was, but she sidestepped the question that he had asked her. And the question is, do you believe this? We saw a video that explained the gospel and how Christ died and was punished and bled and gave his body. And we're listening to the gospel. Do you believe it? Not just do I believe it in my head, but has it penetrated into my heart and it comes out in my life as well? Well, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So she gave the right Sunday school answer, but she didn't answer the question that Jesus had asked her. Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And even though you die, you continue to live as well. How about you? Do you believe that Jesus, though he would die, says that you will live as well? Do you already believe that? Easter 2026, can you say with a confidence, and I hope so, but a confidence from God's word that I believe that Jesus is the life and that he gives me life as well? I counted yesterday how many months it had been since I had a stroke, and that was in August of last year, and the way that I've been progressing and doing okay in most spaces, not okay in some spaces. But you know what? It doesn't matter if I have a stroke or if I die early, according to what we think as humans, or earlier than what other people around me want me to believe. If Jesus died and said, I will have life, I'm going to have life. Whether I pass out from a stroke and move on to eternity, or whether I continue on in this life. And at least for a while, God has given me life here. But my question is for you as well. Same question that Jesus asked Martha. Do you believe this? Verse 28 says this. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying the same thing that her sister said. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So they were so hyper-focused on he's not alive because you weren't here, but Jesus has a better plan for that as well. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved and in his spirit and greatly troubled. I don't think he was deeply moved because Lazarus had died. He knew that that was going to happen. He was already in the preparation of getting to the place of raising him from the dead. Greatly troubled because everyone was concerned about his life and that he didn't have it anymore. And he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, same thing. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? And then verse 38 says, Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So he's bringing it right down to the present. This isn't going to be one of these times in the resurrection day. This is going to happen here and now. So they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He knew that the Father hears his prayer. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. This guy's dead 4 days already. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen straps and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. I think that was one of the things that gripped the Apostle Paul when he penned Romans chapter 8 towards the end of chapter 8. And let me just read a couple of the verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus said to Martha at the beginning of the situation, I am the resurrection and the life. Not I will be the resurrection, I will be the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And he brought it to pass in front of their faces that very day as well. That's why you and I can walk through difficult, hard, tough health situations or family situations or professional situations, and we can still lift our heads very high because we serve the God who is in control of all things. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As a believer, you too will be resurrected because we are identified with Jesus in his death through baptism, but also in his resurrection when we're raised up out of that water as well. 1 Thessalonians says this, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the shout of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The second statement from Scripture about the resurrection is completely contrary to the statement from the Sadducees when they said there is no resurrection. And that's that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Not I will be after my death and I'm raised again. I already am the resurrection and the life. The third significant statement about the resurrection, these are going to go pretty short, pretty quick. Everyone will be resurrected. There isn't a soul in this place today, regardless of who you are, how well you've lived, that won't be resurrected. Every single person in this place will be resurrected. And we could be just as wrong as the Sadducees who said there is no resurrection if in our mind we think only the good people are going to be resurrected. Well, the reality is there is none good, no, not one. But Jesus came and died for them as well. It says in John chapter 5 the following. John 5, truly, truly, verse 25, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. So it looks like it's just the good guys right now, but it's going to be everybody. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, verse 27, and he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel, or don't be surprised at this. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment, or the resurrection of condemnation. Everybody in this place, in our world, everybody will be resurrected. They won't be reincarnated, they'll be resurrected. They'll be brought up from the dead. Don't be like the Sadducees, only in a different way, mistaking what we believe, thinking that it's only those who belong to Christ who will be resurrected. Everyone, some for life and some for death. In Acts 24, the Apostle Paul is giving a defense before a governor, and this is what he says. There will be a resurrection from the dead, chapter 24, verse 15. There will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Daniel, in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 12, puts it this way. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. It's called the book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Both the just and the unjust will be resurrected. There is a resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and every one of us will be resurrected. The fourth significant statement, before I cough into this thing, the fourth significant statement about the resurrection is resurrection day is payday. If I were to ask everyone here today how many of us are working and we work so that we get paid and we get paid so that we can make our house payment or car payment or whatever it is that we do, it's a payday. We work towards that payday. Resurrection day also is a payday. Luke 14, Jesus said the following to someone who had invited him to a dinner. He said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you and in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So when that resurrection day comes, the one who is the resurrection and the life, who comes back with those who are asleep and raises us up again, there is a resurrection of the just and there is a payment that happens. Luke 14, Jesus is saying, do something for God's kingdom without needing recognition now. We don't have to have recognition now, and you look so well, and you speak so well, and you sing so well. We can do something for God's kingdom for the poor and the lame and the blind and those who have absolutely no way of repaying us, no way of saying anything other than thank you, if they even say thank you. We can do it for the Lord, and we'll be paid in the resurrection day. Resurrection day is payday for the just, but resurrection day is also payday for the unjust, those who refuse the justness of Jesus Christ. And that's what it is to be just, is just believe that he died on the cross for me, for all the things that I've done to break God's command. And it's important, but it's payday also for the unjust. The Bible speaks of several end time events. One is the resurrection. Another is the judgment seats, where rewards or judgments are made. And there's a portion of a parable. I'm not going to read the whole parable because it gets a little bit too long, but there's a portion that speaks of the unjust being paid also. Matthew 24, verse 41 through 46, where it says, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. And then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There's a payday for the unjust. There's a payday for the just. Not that we merit it. Jesus is the one who merits it. But because we're followers of him and adopted into his family, we get the payday for the just. It's not necessary to have to go through what these went through in this parable, where they went into everlasting punishment. God recognizes Jerry's sin problem. I can look in the mirror and see me, and maybe even the only me that anybody sees, but God is able to understand everything that goes on in my heart and my life, as well as able to understand what goes on in your heart and in your life as well. And he took care of that. He sent his son to die on the cross for my sin and for your sin, and he was the only one that could do that. He was the only one that did do that. The only one that could say, I am the resurrection and the life. And he did that as well. And then as a demonstration of his acceptance of that perfect sacrifice, and because he's the Lord of life, he raised Jesus up on the third day, just as it was prophesied in the Old Testament. So we're here, and we celebrate, and we get excited about Resurrection Day, especially when it becomes Easter, because it's spring as well, and we like that. God gives life. That's what he wants us to know. He gives us light opportunities for life through Jesus. He desires that you have life, that you have spiritual life, that you walk in fellowship with God throughout your life. He desires that. There's another parable. I won't read it all. It's in Matthew 25. It's called the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 virgins that were wise and ready for the bridegroom to come. They had oil for their lamps. They didn't know what time he was going to come, what hour he was going to come, but they were ready. And then there were 5 that were a little bit lazy and a little slothful, and they thought, you know, we can get some oil later on, so when he comes, then we'll just beg out, and we'll get a little bit more oil, and we'll be ready too. He did come, and afterwards, the other virgins, those that weren't ready, came also. They went to the store, bought some oil, and they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. They would say, we know you, Jesus. And Jesus would say to them, but I don't know you. And they didn't get to come in. And then there's a statement of concern where it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And it would be great if it were April 5th, 2026, 12 o'clock. That'd give us about an hour and 10 minutes. We could get finished, get ready for the Lord to come. That'd be awesome. But we don't know that. Could be today. Could be a week from now. Could be a year from now or 10 years from now. But what he says that we should do is always be watching and ready to receive the Lord and to be prepared to walk with him. The final statement about the resurrection can be found in various places in the New Testament. And I chose Romans chapter 6, and I'll read a couple of other passages as well. This is what it says in Romans 6, the final statement. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, Jesus, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. You remember when you were baptized? I can remember it was 1980. It was about 4 weeks after I had come to know the Lord, and one of the pastors at Redbridge Baptist Church lowered me into the water and then brought me back up out of the water. And I've always identified with the death to self, that we're identified with Jesus and his death. But I want us to recognize that Scripture teaches as well that I am just as identified with his resurrection, not one day, but now, and not just the death of Christ only. Raised to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I am identified with Jesus' death. And when I went under that water, it was a picture of him dying. But when I came up out of that water, I was identified with his resurrected life as well. And yes, there is a day when one day I'll be resurrected and stand in the presence of the Lord. But I can live in resurrected power now. I still have the battle that's going on spiritually inside of my body, inside of this world in which we live, but I am as identified in Christ's resurrection as I am in his death also. And then it says in verse 12, let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. So this is to each of us individually, an exhortation for everyone to hear, but for each of us individually. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. He wants me identified with his resurrection just as much as he wants me identified with his death and burial for sin as well. Philippians, the Apostle Paul wrote, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He isn't talking about a one day in the future that I'll be resurrected from the dead. That's going to happen as well, but I want to know the power of his resurrection in this life, the things that I go through right now. In Colossians, he says this, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. He didn't say if you died with Christ, that's true also. What he says is, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So I have died, I am resurrected with Christ in God as well. Set my mind on things above, and it'll be pleasing unto my Lord. Peter says it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept for you in heaven. My resurrected identification is with Jesus Christ. There are those who say there is no such thing as a resurrection, and yet Jesus would say, I am the resurrection and the life. And let us know that every one of us is going to be resurrected, and that on that resurrection day, there's a payday for the just, which is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changes and affects my life, as well as the payday for the unjust, those who have chosen to neglect that, even though they might be great people. But there's also this resurrection identification with Jesus now, not just for the future. Jesus just asked a question to Martha, and it's really the same question that I have for us as well. He said when Lazarus had died, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked her, do you believe this? And that's the question that you have and that I have as well. Not just do I acknowledge it as a fact of what Scripture has to say, but do I believe this to the degree that should I die, I will continue to live because I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and he is the resurrection and the life. Are you spiritually prepared? So much more interesting and so much more profitable than just a nice, it's spring and it's Easter time message. I have the ability to stand before God completely clean in him because of what he did by sending his son to die on the cross for me. Are you spiritually prepared, recognizing that Jesus as the resurrection and the life, that all will be resurrected and that resurrection day is payday? You can believe today. And I'm going to invite our worship team to come up, and they're going to close us out with a final song. But even while we're singing this song, and we don't usually do this, but while we're singing this song, I'm going to be around up here. And if you'd like to sit down and have somebody open scripture for you and point you to how you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is absolutely critical. I can't think of anything more important that could happen in your life or the life of anyone in this place today than to believe, than to go from the place of not believing to the place of believing and giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah.